Dear Heavenly Father, we are pleased this evening to have another opportunity to be able to hear the message of your Son, Jesus. We are thankful, Lord, for this gospel meeting that you have allowed us to host since the month of May. We are thankful, Lord, for the increase you have given us in souls being saved, souls being restored, Christians being edified, encouraged, and their faith strengthened. Lord, we pray tonight that Brother Carlos break unto us the bread of life and show us what your Bible says about this man-made doctrine of the sinner's prayer. Pray, Lord, that someone listening tonight perhaps find themselves in a situation where they are dependent upon the sinner's prayer to grant them the salvation that they believe that they have. Pray, Lord, that the word that Brother Carlos will proclaim this evening will tear down and destroy those strongholds that will show the listener who is in such a situation the weakness and the frailty of that argument, and build them up the knowledge of your Son Jesus, and present to them the gospel and the church he built, the Church of Christ. We pray, Lord, that someone listening tonight has a desire to be saved. We ask this prayer in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, Brother Flunder. We appreciate you so very much as well for working with me, and we're thankful to those who are on the call. My name is Brother Tommy Brooks. I'm the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. We're so excited about the results we're getting from our call, and we're so thankful to see each night many of you are return callers and you're inviting people. We have a lot of new callers on the call each and every night, and so we're so thankful to those who are first-time callers and that are not members of the Church of Christ. You are very honored guests. And those first-time callers who are members of the church, we pray you continue to join us and support the preaching of the gospel. Tonight, the person who will be speaking to us tonight is the person, Brother Carlos Barrientos, and from Gonzales, Louisiana. He's been married 30 years, 4 children, 2 grandchildren, graduate of the Memphis School of Preaching. We've had many of our preachers coming through the Memphis School of Preaching, and we're so thankful to have the full support of the Memphis School of Preaching staff and the faculty and many of their students, graduates, for many years. He's been preaching for 33 years. Currently the Spanish minister at the Gonzales Church of Christ in Louisiana. So we're thankful to have him tonight. Brother Carlos, talk to us about this sinner's prayer. We know you are the repeat defender of the truth. God's word has settled this matter forever. Tell us about it.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Brother Tommy. And my dear friends and brethren, what a wonderful night to talk about the Word of God. What a joy and a blessing for me to be honored with this opportunity that you are given to share with you some thoughts from the Word of God. I hope that what I'm going to say is going to really help you in your spiritual quest. If you are somebody that is not a member of the Lord's church, I feel honored that you allow me to enter into your home through this way. It's such an honor for me to make this contact with you, especially when we can share the precious word of the Lord. Greetings in the name of the Lord, and may the Lord bless you and your home. You are listening now, and then you are opening your heart and mind to listen what the Lord has to say. The topic assigned for tonight, or what we are going to talk about, is about something that has brought certainly a lot of confusion, and even there is thousands and thousands of people that have been taught about this, with the idea that this is what they need to do in order to be saved. We are talking about the sinner's prayer. Have you ever been told that if you want to be saved, what you have to do is to bow down and invite Jesus to come into your heart and say the sinner's prayer? We are not talking here about a Christian, my friend, when he has sinned, and then he comes to God seeking forgiveness. This is not the kind of prayer that we are talking about. Actually, in this case, when a Christian sins, what he needs to do, indeed, is to come to the Lord, confess his sins and ask for forgiveness. This is what the Bible teaches. For instance, in 1 John 1:9, the Apostle John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And also, the same 1 John in chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So clearly here, the Bible is teaching that when we sin, we have to come before the Lord and ask for his forgiveness. And that we have an advocate before the Father, which is Jesus Christ, the righteous. But here in these verses, John is talking to Christians, people already saved. He calls them my little children, for instance, in chapter 2 and verse 1. And also in verse 7, over there in chapter 2 of 1 John, he called them brethren. He said, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you. That people that he is talking about, or he is talking to in these particular verses that I just read, are brethren. They were brethren. They were saved people already because they submitted their life in obedience to the Lord. He was not talking at all about this called sinner prayers, as somebody has said here is verses that are talking about sinner's prayer. No, he's talking about Christians. And indeed, this is what Christians need to do in order to be forgiven by the Lord when they sin. When we talk about this sinner's prayer, my dear friend, we are talking about that teaching that today many teach, that in order to be saved, to be converted to the Lord, what you must do is to repent, confess your sins, and then pray to Lord for forgiveness. That is called the sinner's prayer. It's a kind of confession that you make after you have repented before the Lord and you invite Jesus to come into your heart, recognizing your sins, and then after that, you are forgiven by God and you are saved. Well, important to point out at this point, my dear friends and brethren, that in first place, there is something very important that we have to keep in mind. For everything that we teach, we have to have something that is called Bible authority. What I mean with that is that we have to be able to clearly support without a shade of doubt with the Bible whatever we are teaching. It is imperative that we have Bible authority for whatever we teach related to faith and Christian life. For instance, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, the Apostle Peter says, if any man speaks, let him speak of the oracles of God. And this is, my friends, remarkable important when our teaching has to do with the precious souls of men. When what we are teaching has to do with the most important thing that human beings should be concerned about, his salvation, his eternity after this world. Paul the Apostle says in Galatians 1:8, he reminds us something very important. He says, but even if we, talking about the apostles, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary, or as the King James Version says, any other gospel, to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed, Galatians 1:8. It's so important to talk according to the oracles of God is so important, so transcendental, to have Bible authority for whatever we teach, and as I said, especially related to salvation, that Paul even says that if him of any other apostle with that apostle authority, or even he says an angel, somebody come from somewhere else from the heavenly realm, and he comes talking anything different or contrary to what we have taught to you, the apostle, he let him be accursed. This verse is teaching us that whatever I teach to people about what to do to be saved needs to be in total and complete accordance with what the apostle taught to people in the first century. Now, the necessary question here is, my dear friends, where in the Bible then we find the sinner's prayers to be saved? Well, the simple answer for that, my friend, is simply anywhere, not a single time. There is no Bible authority for such a thing. Certainly not from God, because it's not in God's word. Now, nevertheless, there is a passage that some people have shown me before and used to show, trying to prove that there is biblical authority for this called sinner's prayer. And that verse is Romans 10:13, and some other parallel passage that says something similar to this. But in Romans 10:13, Paul said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." They say, you see, here is the sinner's prayer. The Bible teaches here that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, it is right that the Bible is saying this. We are reading just from the right from the scripture here in Romans 10:13. But this passage is not teaching that the only thing you must do to be saved is to call upon the Lord, upon the name of the Lord. We need to understand really what calling upon the name of the Lord really means. The implication here is that if you call upon the name of the Lord is because you are ready to obey what he says. You have to believe, but you believing in the Lord, the calling of the Lord means that you are going to obey what he says, what he teaches you to do. Jesus said, for instance, in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Matthew 7:21. You see here, my friend, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, not everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord, upon my name, Jesus said, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but that one that does what my Father in heaven said. Obedience goes with what desire or that desire in my heart to obey the Lord. Calling upon the name of the Lord or calling the name of the Lord means that I am ready to obey what he says I need to do in order to be saved. Jesus says also in John 15:14, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." You see, when we are his friends, when we do whatever he commands us to do. Probably a very good example that we have in the Bible is about calling upon the name of the Lord, or that shows us somebody that was praying in the process of conversion, is the case of the Apostle Paul, that Saul of Tarsus, that later was that the Apostle Paul. It's a great example, is the one example in the Bible that we have of somebody ready to be saved, ready to do what the Lord wants him to do, and praying before that. But we notice something interesting here that can enlighten us about this act of praying before coming in obedience to the Lord. We have the conversion of Saul of Tarsus recorded three times in the New Testament, all of them in the book of Acts. Acts 9, Acts chapter 22, and Acts chapter 26. These three chapters are three accounts of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. When we read these chapters in the Bible, we find that Saul was converting in his way to the city of Damascus, where he was going to take prisoner Christians to be gone into jail. He was a persecutor of the Christian back then, and he was going to that city to get prisoners to the Christians and bring it back to Jerusalem. There was a process of conversion of a sinner. He was going in that way when he encountered with Jesus. Jesus came to him and talked to him. And in chapter 9, verse 11, we read as follows. And the Lord said unto him, when Jesus came to Jesus to talk to him, he says, the Bible says here that when the Lord said to him, arise. Well, he's talking here in 9:11. He's talking about Ananias. Ananias was a man in Damascus that Paul was told that he should go to the city, to enter into the city of Damascus, and he'll find somebody named Ananias there. And that person, that Ananias, would come to him and would teach him, would tell him what he should do in order to be saved. Because that was what Paul asked to Jesus. He said, Lord, what should I do? What I need to do? And Jesus told him, well, you go to the city, and there is somebody who's going to teach you, who's going to tell you what to do. So in the meantime, the Lord talked to Ananias, instructing him what he has to do. He has to do to see Paul and then tell him what he needs to do. But when the Lord talked to Ananias, he says this to him, Acts 9:11. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Now, look at this, my friend. For behold, he prays. In fact, in verse 9, we find that he was already fasting. For three days, Paul didn't eat, neither drink anything. I'm pretty sure that all this time Paul was fasting, and for sure he was praying to the Lord. In this verse 11, the Lord is telling Ananias, Paul had been praying. If there is a great opportunity in the Bible, my dear friend, to do that so-called sinner's prayer, was this one right here. Paul was praying. There is no better opportunity for a sinner's prayer than this one here. Now, when he went to Damascus to hear what he was told, what he must do, we find the following. In the other account of this event here, the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, the account of chapter 22 of the book of Acts, in verse 16, when Ananias and Paul are together, and Ananias is teaching Paul what to do, and keep in mind that Paul already was praying to the Lord. And we read in Acts 22:16, Ananias talking to Paul, and he said, for thou shalt be his witness, talking about Jesus, unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. My dear friend, here is a biblical clear example of what calling on the name of the world of the Lord means. It's to obey him, is to arise and wash my sins to the way the Lord has provided for me to wash my sins. When Ananias came to Paul and taught him what to do, And Ananias didn't tell Paul, "Paul, bow with me. Let me lay my hands on your head. I'm going to make a special prayer for you. I'm going to make this special prayer for Paul. If you will, just repeat after me. Receive Jesus in your heart. Listen to my prayer." And after that, he declares, "Saul of Tarsus saved, no my dear friend." In fact, I want to underline again, Paul was already praying. Paul never did the sinner's prayer to be saved, but simply because that is not what the Lord teaches in his word. When there was somebody ready to obey the Lord, and probably this is the case when somebody addresses the Lord straight, the Lord himself asking this important question, "What should I do?" And the Lord answered Paul through Ananias, his servant, and teaches him, "Well, you need to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." That is what calling upon the name of the Lord means, my dear friend. That takes us to our next point. Okay. Certainly, the sinner's prayer is something that is not found in the Bible. We have an example here of somebody, a sinner, ready to obey the Lord with his heart open, evidently already repented, praying to the Lord, but he was not praying any sinner's prayer because simply that is not what can make you saved. You need to obey the Lord. So what do I have to do then to be saved? Well, to answer the question properly, we need to see what Jesus and the apostle taught to the people in the Bible, the Word of God. That lays for us the real plan of salvation from God. What we need to see, what we need to find in the Bible is what Jesus and the apostles after Jesus' death and his resurrection taught to the people that they needed to be saved, to do to be saved. An important principle here to point, my dear friend, is something found in Psalm 119 and 160. Psalm 119, verse 160 says something important that I would like to point out and use this principle here, trying to see what we have biblically to do to be saved. And this psalm says, "The sum of thy word is truth, and every one of you righteous rules endures forever." Especially the first part of this verse, "The sum of thy word is truth." This is important just to point out that what we need to know, what we need to do in order to be saved is not in just one verse of the Bible, not in just one scripture. This is a serious mistake that most people commit when they just take one part of the Bible that teaches about one of the steps or one of the things that you need to do, and they conclude that that's all that you have to do. In order to make sure that you have the full picture of what to do in order to be saved, you have to review what the apostle taught to the people when they asked for salvation. Jesus and the apostle, what they taught to people when they were ready to obey or when they were ready to be saved. You see, we have about 10 accounts or 10 examples of sinners coming to Jesus for salvation in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. And every single of them is, just like the Apostle Paul did, like the Saul of Tarsus did, cases of obedience to what the Lord have through his apostles, through his inspired word today, to teach, to tell the people they need to do in order to be saved. When we study the New Testament, when we go to the conversions in the Bible to learn and to see what apostles teach or talk to the people they need to do to be saved, we find the following, my friend. I'm going to briefly underline basically what is found in the Bible, and I will encourage you, take your Bible at home, Go to the book of Acts, and you'll find examples of conversion, and you'll see clearly in all of these examples, like the 3,000 people in Acts chapter 2, like the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, Lydia of Thyatira in Acts chapter 16, the jailer in the same chapter, chapter 16 of Acts, Paul of Tarsus that we just talked about in Acts chapter 9, chapter 22, chapter 26, that a group of men that they hear about the Lord, but they didn't obey properly, and they were urged to obey the Lord properly by the Apostle Paul in Ephesus, Acts chapter 19, and so forth. You'll find all these examples, and you find the same pattern there, what they did in order to be saved. And you'll find that they never did anything like that so-called sinner's prayer. What they did then, what all these people in the Bible did in order to be saved. I'm going to mention briefly what they did. Number one, they hear the word of God, because what the Lord wants you to listen to Him, to pay attention to Him, to hear His word, His gospel, so you can have a clear idea of what you need to do. Romans 10:17 says, "So the faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You need faith to be saved, and that starts by hearing the word of God. Number one, then, you need to hear the word of God. Number two, you have to believe what that word of God says. In Acts chapter 16, in verse 31, the Bible says, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." This is talking about the jailer that I just mentioned. When he came and asked, "Sirs, what I need to do to be saved?" And Paul told him that you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people stop here and they say, "Well, you see, what you need to do is just believe and you'll be saved in your house too." No, you have to follow the whole story there, and you'll see that after believing, he came to do exactly what Paul of Tarsus said, or Paul of Tarsus did. He obeyed the Lord through baptism. But when you have heard, you have to believe that what you heard, and then you are ready to repent. You have to repent of your sins. Number three, in Acts 17:30, the word of God says, "And the times of this ignorance God winneth out, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent." We need to repent, which means you have to make a decision to change your life. You start walking in another direction toward God, according to God. Change of mind that results in a change of life. When you have repented, you need then to confess. Confess. What you have to confess? Well, Romans 10, 9 and 10 teaches us what confession is, that one that you have to do. That if thou shalt confess, the Bible says here, with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. What? Paul? The Lord Jesus. That is this confession. And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart men believe unto righteousness, but look at this, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I need to confess. What do I need to confess? Not my sins, as some people teach us out there. There is not a need. I mean, you can do that if you want, but there's not a need to make a list of your sins. The Lord knows them. But what you have to confess is that Jesus is the Son of God. That is important, because this is that you are shown there your that you are humble before the Lord, recognizing Him as your Lord and submitting your life to Him. And you are not ashamed to let everybody know that you are submitting your life to Jesus. You have to confess that He is the Son of God, the name of the Lord. And once you have done that, then, my friend, you need to be baptized. Yes, baptized. but it is not so soon. You might say, wait, my friend, when you read all these cases that I just mentioned to you in the Bible, when you read what really the Bible teaches about what to do to be saved, in all cases, all of them are cases of baptism. Everybody, when they were ready to obey the Lord, when they hear the gospel, when they believe it, when they repent, and then they confess the name of Jesus, what they did were they were baptized for the remission of sins. In fact, this is exactly what Jesus taught to his disciples that they should teach to the nations, to the people around the world, when he commanded them with the Great Commission. In Mark 16, 15 and 16, Jesus said to the apostles, Mark tells us that Jesus said, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. Can you see the Lord says here that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved? Now he that believes only, well, the devil believes in God, but he is not saved. He's not interested in doing what the Lord says. There are many that believe in the Lord, but they just stay there. You need to obey what the Lord said. We need to obey. I need to obey what the Lord said. I need that Jesus said and is baptized. He's the one that is going to be saved. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, a multitude of people asked the apostle what they should do in order to be saved. And when Peter answered, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he gave them this answer. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the Bible teaches, then Peter said unto them, repent. Of course, you cannot be saved if you don't repent. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized, Peter said to the multitude, and 3,000 of them did exactly that and were saved that very day. Do you remember what Ananias told to Paul, to Saul of Tarsus in Acts 22:16? He said, and now why that tires thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. My dear friend, there is anywhere in the Bible anything even close to the so-called the sinner's prayer. I know that this is very common. It's so popular among all religious bodies around us that everybody believes that that is what they need to do to be saved. That the media, all ways of media, are full with this idea that you just need, after you listen a message, just bow down and say the sinner's prayer, inviting Jesus into your heart. My dear friend, simply, this is not what you find in the Bible anywhere. You have to go through the whole process to the plan of salvation that just discussed with you or presented to you a minute ago. Now, it doesn't mean that you cannot pray when you come to Jesus seeking his forgiveness. Yeah, you can pray, but understand that it's not in that prayer that you are saved. You have to believe, you have to hear, you have to believe, you have to repent, you have to confess, and you have to be baptized in order to be saved. Prayer itself cannot save simply because it's not God's plan. Even if you repent and confess him as your Savior, you must be buried with Jesus Christ to be resurrected with him in the waters of baptism. Paul says in Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6:4. Let me finish with this question with all my heart, my friend. I hope I hope that you were able to understand what I said this night. But let me ask you this question. Have you truly been resurrected with the Lord Jesus Christ? If the answer is not, my friend, let me encourage you. Let me beg you to do it as soon as you can. We are here to serve you. Please make contact with us. You can call us, and we'll be more than glad, more than happy. We'll rejoice with you in helping you being born again, being saved through the real way that the Lord has in His Word, not through any so-called sinner's prayer that is completely absent in the Bible. This is not what the Bible teaches, dear friend. If this is what you did at any point in your life, because that's what you were taught to do, my friend, you are not saved. You need to obey the Lord through His way, not through man's way. May the Lord bless you. I be praying for you, and I hope that you have the joy of being saved through God's way. God bless you all. Thank you so much for fine attention.
And thank you, Brother Carlos. We appreciate you being very straightforward and plain. This matter of the sinner's prayer is a very dangerous doctrine in America. You know, Billy Graham is famous, along with Franklin Graham. And not only him, Baptist Church, many people in the Protestant world. This is a real grace doctrine type lesson. Many, many, many people believe they can just accept Jesus in their heart and be saved. Tonight, friends, if you're on the call, Brother Carlos was very clear. And the Bible is very clear. And no one will say, praying the sinner's prayer. And we've had this topic on several times, and we're going to continue to do this because these are the kind of teachings that are causing people to be lost. These type lessons about the sinner's prayer, people just thinking they can just pray and be saved. No, you got to obey the gospel. Got to be baptized, that's a command. You got to be in the one church, the Church of Christ. And that's why we appreciate men like Brother Carlos, who was very clear at the end. If you done that, if you prayed a sinner's prayer, if you accept Jesus as a personal Savior when you was at a young age or whatever, you are not saved. And you need to be saved because, with the COVID-19, what God has done is telling us, the whole world, having to see death put on the TV every day. And the Bible says, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, it is better to go to the house of mourning to the house of peace. For the living will lay it to heart. The house of mourning is when people die. And when people are dying, they start thinking about being saved. But if you want to be saved, you can't pray to be saved. You must obey the gospel. Let's pray to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this night you've given us. Lord, thank you for loving us, Father, for giving your only Son who gave his life on the cross, shed his blood that washed mankind's sins away in baptism. And that same blood purchased his church, the only church you can read about in the Bible, in your word. That is the Church of Christ, the Church of your Son, which teach your Son's doctrine or the Son's teaching. What he wanted us to do to be saved. We pray for our visitors, those who are not members of the Church of Christ. They have to understand, that they will understand and receive your word with meekness. And also accept the fact that we are preaching the truth in love. Not to be mean, Father, not that we want to put anyone down. We want to do what you've said. We want to do your will. And we know to do your will, we must obey the truth according to your word. The scripture, the Bible. Thank you for giving it to us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who guided the men to write it so we don't have to worry about error according to mankind. The Holy Spirit guided these men to write this truth. Now we pray for our visitors that they will obey it. Someone's on the very verge of being baptized tonight. We pray they won't put it off till tomorrow. But tomorrow is not promised, and we know that. And Father, thank you for Brother Carlos. Thank you for him, his work. His congregation, thank you for all of our Spanish preachers, our African American preachers, his Caucasian preachers. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be maybe different in our own ways, all skin colors or whatever the case may be. Maybe nationalities are different, maybe. But we preach the same thing because your word don't change. It's for the world. No matter where the people are in the listening audience, they can obey that truth, regardless to color, nationality. They can obey the same truth. And thank you for allowing us to present it this way. And we love you, and thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Another great night. We're in the neighborhood. Colors did an outstanding job. Another defender of the truth tomorrow night. Another repeat defender of the truth, Brother Mike Hickson. Oh, man, we got women preachers in the pulpit these days. And the Bible teaches against women preachers. So if you know friends or family who are sitting under women preachers, or you know women preachers who need to hear this lesson themselves, put them on this call tomorrow night. They need to know that they should not be preaching. And you need to tell them your word to them. Invite your pastor, your female pastor, to our church, to this call tomorrow night, and let her hear for herself. If she loves God, she loves the word, she'll change. And then even in the Church of Christ, we've got women working around the table, serving as elders. This whole matter must be discussed. Y'all be on tomorrow night. And then Friday night, prosperity preacher, people preaching like Joel Osteen and Creflo Dollar, making people think just because they got money they're going to heaven and God is blessing them. Nah, rich man Lazarus teaches us that it's different. The rich man was lost. He was tormented. But it was that beggar who was carried to Abraham's bosom by angels. Which one you want to be? Tune in Friday night. May God bless you. We love you. Have a good night.